via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know. It's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Hello, once again, it's lovely to have your company. You are listening to episode 7 of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, the show that digs into my old comedy sketch archive from days gone by, presenting on BRMB and Heart FM, and brings you new sketches and songs too, now that me and my compadre Sean Percival actually feel motivated to do a bit of work for this once in a while. My name is Ian Danter, talk sport presenter, commentator, and the only bloke in that radio station's 20-year history to have hosted every time slot across the seven-day schedule. And yes, get your jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none ripostes ready. I've heard them all before. We've had some brilliant responses online to previous episodes as more and more folk discover our nonsense and start working through from episode 1 onwards. Thank you for all your kind words. It does matter and it does make it worthwhile putting it all together when I read some of your lovely comments. It's iandanter.co.uk, my website, where you can contact me via an email form. Or if you're on Twitter, then it's @talkdance to get in touch. That's @TALKDANTS. Coming up over the next half an hour or so, we'll press the TalkSport red button once again to find out what happens during the ad breaks. A new Mr. Men story for our times. Des working in a factory, and Sir Cliff is not a happy man. Okay, Boston, let's crack on then with a new parody song for you. I actually play this tune with the theatre rock band I'm with, Leather and Lace, so I know it well enough on the drums at least, but it's a proper challenge for me to record all the other parts for this song this week, except for the lead vocals, as will shortly become obvious. So here we are, coming up for nearly 2 months in lockdown, and some businesses are, you know, waiting for a sign that they can start up again one way or another. Now, they say rock and roll is a business these days. Actually, Gene Simmons of Kiss has always said it.
Briefcases should always sit right next to guitar cases.
That's one of his quotes. I wonder how the rockin' sisters Anne and Nancy Wilson from the Seattle rock band Heart are getting on during all this.
I had to furlough all my staff when we got forced into lockdown. I need injection of some cash to keep my head above the ground. And this gas bill must get paid somehow. So the thing I really need right now is a loan.
Sorry, Anne, you were mumbling there a bit. I couldn't quite hear you sing that last bit. What did you say you need right now?
Alone.
Oh, okay, righto.
Yeah, we can get into business making PPE equipment, specifically handwear. I think you and I should do it together, Nancy. It'll be brilliant. What do you think?
What in Sam Hill are you talking about, Anne?
Well, you know.
All I wanna do is make gloves with you. 1 million pairs should see them through.
A huge thank you to Tanith Roberts, James Leather and Lace singer, for her sterling work there on lead vocals. Tidy, Tanith. Now, at this time in the Barmy Old Podcast, we do always like to cross to the Houses of Parliament to see what the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, Black Country Bob, has been banging on about. Here's an example from early 2006, I think, when Tony Blair's Labour government were putting legislation through at the time that would outlaw something in public places that millions enjoyed doing. No, not that. Filthy mind you've got there. You've been listening to too much Des, I reckon. Anyway, cue the music.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker!
Prime Minister's questions. A Black Country Bob.
I put it to the House that the Prime Minister is a traitor!
What? Explain yourself!
The Labour Party manifesto categorically states that there wouldn't be a complete ban on smoking.
Well, look, smoking has caused thousands of premature deaths. Yeah.
So was the invasion of Iraq, but it didn't stop you doing that, did it?
Look, I quite simply do not want to go into a pub and have to breathe in your secondhand smoke.
You wouldn't have to breathe in more secondhand smoke.
Well, I wouldn't. Well, why?
Because if you came into the pub, I'd go straight away.
When is the Right Honourable Member for Dudley going to realise that smoking causes heart failure?
So does overeating! And you're going to ban fat people from McDonald's next!
Look, some people can't help putting on weight!
Absolute rubbish! People put on weight because they ate too much! Look at the Home Secretary, Charles Clark!
What about him?
I don't know about his eyes being bigger than his stomach! His ears have as well!
Disgusting!
Greedy people get fat! I don't believe all that gumph about some people's bodies taking longer to absorb food and break it down.
I see that the Right Honourable Member for Dudley is talking metabolics now.
There's no need to be like that!
I said metabolics!
Same to you as wool!
Order!
What have you lot laughing at?
Order! Order! I will have order in this house, please, order!
It's Mick Jagger here on the Buy Me Old podcast with my lockdown diary. Do you want to know when I leave the house to get my essential supplies?
Undercover.
All out of sight. Undercover of the night.
A couple of episodes back, we pressed the mythical TalkSport red button for the first time, which I imagined would somehow allow you to listen to what goes on in the main studio when the commercials are on. You can't really, but anyway, here's an imaginary chat during the Friday mid-morning show between our favourite here on the Barmy Old podcast, Jim White, and his Friday co-host Bob Mills, as the subject came up of footballers defying lockdown.
OK, we're into the ads, Jim.
Thanks, Luke. So, Bob, we've had Kyle Walker, we've had Moise Keane. What we need to discuss next on the show is, who is going to be the next Premier League player to break the lockdown laws and maybe bring someone into their home for a bit of gland-to-gland combat?
Yeah, well, what you got to take into account, Jim, is that a lot of these Premier League footballers live alone.
You know, you're right, Bob. We should take that into consideration. They're stuck at home all day with nothing to do. They must be really missing having their bananas peeled.
And at the end of the day, they're all incredibly fit, healthy, and let's be frank, virile young men, Jim.
That's a real good point you're making there, Bob. They are in the prime of their lives. I can only begin to imagine how keen they are to put the email in the spam folder.
Well, you know what, Jim? Some of these young guys have been on their own now for a month.
It's well over a month, Bob. It's more like 6 weeks. Think about that, Bob. 6 whole weeks. They must be chomping at the bit to do some squat thrusts in the cucumber patch by now.
Well, you know, take someone like Dele Alli, Jim. He's young, he's good-looking, single. He's probably used to a certain lifestyle.
I see what you're saying, Bob. Dele is probably out most nights meeting up with folk his own age. He's probably accustomed to getting his whoopee stick vulcanized on a regular basis, and yet now, it's been probably somewhere in the region of 50 days since he's released the Kraken and barged through the gates of Mordor.
I don't want to be too critical, Jim. After all, we was all young once.
Another good point well made, Bob. You are absolutely spot on there. At that age, all men think about is Bow Chicka Wah Wah. They've got doing the hibbity-dibbity and christening the yak on the brain. And if they don't blitzkrieg mit dem Fleischgewehr whilst doing the four-legged foxtrot every night, then they usually head up to the seedy part of town and pay to load the clown into the cannon and paddle the canoe up Coochie Creek. What do you say to that, Bob?
Well, I don't know what you think, Jim, but speaking personally, after all this time in lockdown, I'd say that most Premier League footballers who live on their own are probably just desperate for a shag.
Bob, have you listened to a single word I've said? We started a little benchmark item on BRMB in 2001 after it seemed that the extraordinary Bruce Forsyth's TV career was unfortunately headed down a bit of a cul-de-sac. Sean and me thought that all those brilliant catchphrases of his shouldn't go to waste when they could be used in so many other walks of life. And so was born
a new career for Bruce Forsyth. Number 24, lawyer.
All right, my love. Well, it's nice to see you. Nice.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Well, I'm your wife's lawyer. She wants a divorce, I'm afraid, my dear.
But I love her.
Oh, shame, shame. Such a shame, shame.
See, I always thought we made such a lovely pair.
Yes, my dear, but of course you get nothing for a pair.
Not in this game.
Anyway, she's divorcing you, my love, because of all the affairs.
But I've never had an affair.
But she has, my dear. You know the local rugby team?
You what? You mean she's been off with one of them?
Oh, more than one, my love.
How many? Two?
Oh, higher. Higher than two, my love.
Three?
Oh, higher. Higher still, my love, because I'm the leader of the pack. She's been putting it about behind your back. Now, it's only fair that you should know she's been having it away with the whole back row. But anyway, as part of the divorce settlement, she wants the house, the kids, the car, and, oh yes, all the money in the bank.
Oh. Well, at least I can make a clean break, I suppose. You know, a fresh start.
Oh, well, I'm afraid you can't even do that, my love, because she also... let's see what it says here. She also wants a third of your future earnings.
Oh, she won't get that.
Well, let's see, my love, because we asked the Arsenal and England midfielder Ray Parlour what percentage of your future earnings your missus is likely to get, and the actual amount of the future earnings Ray Parlour said she'd probably get is... 37.5%. So I was wrong to say it was a third. It's actually more. Oh, what are you crying for, mate?
Oh, my sister's a lawyer, see? She'd have sorted this out for me, but she's suffering at the moment with concussion after she was hit on the head by a large nut.
Oh, I see, right, yeah. So she was hit on the head by a nut then, was she? And what's her name then? Hazel?
Oh, how dare you!
Oh, he's broke my jaw with one punch. Did he do well? Ladies and gentlemen, in the divorce courts. Gentlemen and ladies, divorce court in. Well, didn't he do?
Still got a Desi's Diary and a brand new Mr. Man story for you later in the show. But first, singing competitions always do well on telly for ratings these days, it seems. The Masked Singer got huge viewing figures early this year, of course, as we saw celebs dressed as trees and hedgehogs trying to win public votes, and I saw it's just been granted a second series in the news this week. Back in the mid-2000s, you might remember the BBC tried a format that wasn't far off being kind of strictly for vocalists. It was called Just the Two of Us, hosted by Vernon Kay, with the likes of the former pop icon and by then margarine saleswoman Lulu as one of the judges. Now, quite why someone as brilliant and cool as Stuart Copeland also signed up as a judge for it is beyond me. Anyway, celebs with no real history as singers were paired up, strictly style, with professionals to do duets each week and win the public vote. To be fair, some of the pros were great talents like Alexander O'Neill and Beverly Knight, as well as 90s pop star Curtis Stigers, but poor old Curtis got lumbered with the then GMTV presenter Penny Smith, who'd already stunk the place out on Celebrity Stars in the Rise as Debbie Harry a year or two before. So I felt a bit sorry for old Curtis, who clearly knew he had literally nothing to work with in Penny.
Well, Penny's no singer of jazz, rock or soul. She sings like a cat that's in pain. This show's a minger, I just want to go. I really hate Lulu, I can't stand Vernon Kay. So please don't vote for me to stay. And I wonder why I went on this terrible show.
Sing with this.
I
used to be huge.
Tell you goodbye.
Oh, they're switching off.
Yeah, I wonder why. How was that?
Okay then, Lulu. Curtis Daggs and Penny Smith there. What's your opinion?
Oh, 3.7.
But you're giving them 3.7 out of 10, Lulu.
No. I just thought I'd let you know my level of cholesterol just now. 3.7.
It's Ian Dancer's Barmy Old Podcast here, always on the hunt for advertising. You've never heard any ads on this podcast yet, have you? Well, there's a reason for that, because we can't find any. Mind you, in advertising news this week, it seems that betting companies have suspended adverts during lockdown on television and radio. It doesn't quite stretch to podcast, though. Here's a word from our sponsors.
We were connected to some of the most advanced technology the world has ever seen. We could choose from over 100 fans and live sports events every year. And then this bloody virus came along and screwed everything up. Just like that. Now, all the live sporting events have been cancelled. And when they do come back, no one will have any bleeding money. We were members of the world's favourite online sports betting company. But now, we just sit around twiddling our bloody fingers. Corona, you slag.
Seriously though, if someone out there does want to sponsor this podcast, right? I'll be like Krusty the Clown with the Canyonero, okay? Just to be clear, you know how to get in touch. Now, there's not much live sport to bet on at this moment, obviously, but one sports news item caught my eye this week. Peter Ebdon has been forced to retire from professional snooker due to a severe neck injury, which is a real shame, and we do wish him well. He won the 2002 World Championships at the Crucible, beating Stephen Hendry in a proper nail-biting classic final, 18 frames to 17. However, just 4 years later, during our time on the Sunday Carve-Up show, he was in the final again. A final that saw the longest frame ever in Crucible Finals history at almost an hour and a quarter, and the laziest finish ever to a final. It was nowhere near as classic a match as 4 years earlier for Ebdon, and commentators Ted Lowe and Dennis Taylor were there for us. And yes, look, I know it's an appalling Dennis Taylor impression. It was the best I could do at the time, all right? Good.
Oh, wake up, Ted. Wake up. I think he's going to take a shot.
Hello, Ted. Dennis. Oh, I just had the most terrible nightmare, Dennis. Oh, it was horrible.
What was it then, Ted?
Peter Ebdon and Graham Dott had reached the Crucible Final, and it was the worst match ever in the history of the World Snooker Championships.
That wasn't a nightmare, Ted. Look, Ebdon and Dott down there.
Oh, my God, Dennis, it's true.
Oh, Ted, he's actually looking at a plant down there.
Well, who is Dennis, Ebdon or Dott?
No. That man in the audience there, Ted, he spotted a begonia on the wall.
Well, why on earth is he looking at that, Dennis?
Well, because, Ted, anything's better than watching this drivel.
Oh, you're right there, Dennis. I've had enough of this. I can't take any more.
Ted, what are you doing? Where'd you get that shotgun?
Farewell, Dennis. Dott and Ebdon have driven me to it.
No, Ted, no, don't do it. Wait, Ted, no. Oh, God, please, no, please. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, there's still a bullet left in the chamber. Great.
Shall we open up Desi's diary then? I think we ought to. This, remember, was the successor to Desi's dedications once we'd moved from BRMB to Heart FM in 2004. And whilst we openly wanted requests from workplaces for a Des at BRMB, our weekly show at Heart seemed like it didn't need the request element, especially on a Sunday lunchtime when not many were at their workplace or factory, as in this story's instance. I don't know, the one thing that always makes me smile is how the old Vision On vibraphone artwork music seems to suit the delivery of Des so well.
Des's diary.
Hi, girls. Des here. On Ian Danter's Sunday carve-up here on 100.7 Heart FM. And it's time, once again, for Des's Diaries. And today, it's a big... Hi, girls. To all the staff at Glazard's factory, where... Would you believe it? I used to work... One day, the foreman asked me to show a beautiful 18-year-old apprentice how to use the new drill.
Very impressive equipment,
she murmured as she stroked my 10-inch tungsten-tipped reamer.
What's it used for?
She inquired innocently. Well, it increases the width of a hole, I replied. Well, what can I say? Without a moment's hesitation, she turned it on and went to work with it. At first, I thought she was going to burn it out as she forced it in at such high speed, but every time it became really hot and the end started to go red, she just took it out and spat on it. Fantastic.
Will it last?
She gasped. Well, as long as it's been hardened correctly, it'll keep going for hours, I bragged. Cheerio.
Des's Diary. The Sunday Carve-Up. 100.7 Heart FM.
Hi, Zez. This is Jürgen Klopp on Ian Danter's Buy Me Odd podcast. What was that, Ian?
I didn't say anything, Jürgen.
Ah, yes, you did, Ian. You asked me who is my favourite quiz master of all time. Well, let me tell you, it's Magnus Magnusson. Why? Because he used to say, I've started, so I'll finish. And he's right, isn't he? If you start something, you finish it. You can't just stop something because there's been little interruption. You have to keep going, even if it's a foregone conclusion. You can't just forget it ever happened and start again, can you? Am I right? Tell me I'm right, Ian, aren't I?
Okay, shall we just leave Jürgen there, cackling away, shall we? Yeah. Many thanks for all your tweets and emails, by the way, in support of the podcast. I must mention at this point a chap called Steve Dickinson, who emailed me this via my website at iandanter.co.uk. Hello, Ian. Hope all is well. Came across your podcast and found it utterly brilliant. I work alone, so listen to podcasts 9 hours a day. Yours is easily my favourite. Des's diaries are so near the knuckle. Don't know what you mean. And the Mr. Men stories are truly genius. Any chance of a Mr. Lockdown, please? Oh, what a good idea, Steve. Thank you. And here you go.
Mr. Lockdown sat on the toilet and strained for all he was worth. After what seemed like an eternity, there was a splashing sound. Mr. Lockdown let out a big sigh of relief, wiped the beads of sweat off his forehead, and reached for the toilet paper, but you'll never guess what. Yes, you're right, there wasn't any. Panic buyers had completely stripped the shelves of it. So, whereas some people had whole rooms packed to the rafters with Andrex, Mr. Lockdown didn't have any bog roll at all. I'll have to use newspaper instead, Mr. Lockdown said to himself, as he tore off the front page of the Times, which featured a story about the Prime Minister. Now, after wiping his bottom on Boris Johnson's face, Mr. Lockdown went outside to carry on painting his double garage, and you'll never guess what he was using to paint it with. Yes, you're right, a one-inch brush. A one-inch brush was all they had left after it queued for 3 hours the day B&Q reopened. If only I hadn't fallen out with the guy at number 22, we could have swapped, thought Mr. Lockdown, as he watched his neighbour attempting to paint a handrail with an 8-inch roller. Now, 9 hours later, after finishing the undercoat on his double garage, Mr. Lockdown went inside and logged onto his computer for his pre-arranged Zoom meeting with his boss. Mr. Lockdown combed his hair and put a shirt and tie on, but he didn't bother with any trousers. My boss won't notice. I'll be sitting at my desk, he said to himself. And as he leaned forward to get his tie pin off the shelf, do you know what Mr. Lockdown did? Yes, he inadvertently brushed against his computer and tilted the screen downwards. When Mr. Lockdown's boss logged onto the Zoom meeting, she found herself staring directly at Mr. Lockdown's crotch. His filthy white fronts completely filled the 24-inch screen, and you'll never guess what else. Yes, you're right. One of the boys was out of the barracks. Now, after being revived with smelling salts and knocking back a stiff drink, Mr. Lockdown's boss's face reappeared on the screen. You won't have to come into work tomorrow after all, she said. Oh, why not? Am I still furloughed? Inquired Mr. Lockdown. No, you're fired, she replied, and the screen went blank. Poor Mr. Lockdown. Should have put some trousers on the stupid...
Let's round things off today with another sing-song. I'm sure whilst we're all staying home and safe in these times, there will be a huge number of us who had a getaway planned around now or even in a month or two that's simply not happening. Many of us have already missed out on trips abroad, and as Sir Cliff Richard has found out, getting money back for cancelled flight tickets is, well, it's proving a tad difficult. Joining me now, Sir Cliff Richard, who doesn't look happy. What's up, Cliff?
They've cancelled my break. They won't give me my money back. I can't get through to them. I've been on the phone for hours here. So we're not going on a summer holiday. No Mallorca for a week or two. Stuck at home, we'll be pulling our hair out with sweet FA to do. With sweet FA to do. The airlines are behaving badly. They're holding on to all of our cash. So we won't get a penny if all their companies crash. So if they cancelled your summer holiday, a full refund is what they wrote. But now they're just trying to fob us off with a bloody credit note. A bloody credit note. Yeah, it really gets my goat.
So, Sir Cliff, no getting away then this year. So how are you keeping entertained during the lockdown?
Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, blow up doll. Or at least I did until I gave her a love bite and she flew out the window.
And there we have it. Episode 7 is over and it feels like it's barely started. Unless you hated it, in which case it won't half have dragged on. Mind you, would they have listened right to the end if that was the case? Maybe. Hello, if that's you. But hopefully you've enjoyed listening just as much as we've enjoyed putting this here show together. Questions or comments, please, on email via my website, iandanter.co.uk. I do reply, usually. And tweets to @talkdance, T-A-L-K-D-A-N-T-S. And I've been known to reply there too, although I've also been known to mute and block. A rate, review and subscribe from you would be amazing right now if you're on a podcast provider that allows you to do all of that. Fancy an episode 8? Well, I do, so that'll be with you next time. Look after yourself, stay safe, and I'll speak to you on the next Ian Danter's Barmy Old podcast. And as Des would say, cheerio.